And I'm just thinking what Chuck brought before us when we go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. The response of Adam and Eve when they had disobeyed the word of the Lord, they had fallen into sin, and then they covered themselves with leaves. They took upon themselves to do what they thought would be the standard for them. See how immediately that man falling away in relationship from God begins to do what he thinks is the standard, setting God aside. And it amazes me as we go down this Roman road that we have chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And that we have all of this content that is dedicated to establishing God's order, God's righteousness, and setting aside everything else that has to do with any other thought. And I just want to emphasize two verses for you as in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that brings this about. Because God knows our hearts as those hearts that have been separated from Him and have fallen into sin. And He emphasizes this thought. In verse 20 of chapter 1, He uses this expression, and the expression is that they are without excuse. Mm. Then in chapter 2 and verse 1, He says again, "Thou art inexcusable, O man." And then we come to the section that we've had before us, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And okay, we're emphasizing now what has been said, but God is emphasizing it in His word. He is repeating here and coming to a standard that there is no excuse, that there is no answer, there is no response that will satisfy a righteous and a holy God that is outside of Himself. The answer must come from Him. So He says, "You're inexcusable, oh man. There is nothing that you can bring to the table to bring your account into good standing with a righteous God, because as has been established that we are, there's none righteous, not one. There's all gone out of the way. All are unprofitable. That the depravity of man is impossible to rise up to a righteous and a holy God." And so we become speechless. There is not a word that we can say in response to a righteous God that would establish me in relationship with Him. There is nothing I can bring to the table.
You know, I love to think of the medical world when I look at verses 9, 10, 11, 12. And I think of that as an X-ray. An X-ray, there's a lot of detail that it doesn't show. An X-ray will show a broken bone, but if there's something beyond that, there's the big machine. Many of us remember years ago, and Emil reminded the young people of the MRI. Anybody know what the MRI is at a hospital? It's this great big machine that's around, and you know, they're going to ask you all kinds of questions. Kristen's laughing at me as I talk about it, but they want to know if you've ever had metal in your eyes, and there are all kinds of things. Because that magnetic
Roman's image
field will pull the metal right out. It is phenomenal what it can tell. Now let me tell you that we're moving from the X-ray to the MRI. We're going to go and we're going to look in detail at the situation of this man. He that is set before God. Yes, he has a throat. And we saw in these verses, what an awful illustration. An open grave. His throat is an open sepulcher. This is what he says. We think again of what a standard means. In a world that has no standard, there's absolutely confusion. In God's world, there is a standard. And we find man does not meet God's standard. What is the second thing? Yes, they have a tongue. Mm-hmm. What has been true of this tongue? It has used deceit. Their lips, the poison of asps, is under their lips. What about a mouth? You know, can you get used to hearing our Lord's name used in vain, cursing and swearing? Now it's everywhere. It used to be there was a little bit of holdback. Now wherever you turn on the radio, you'll hear the filth of this world coming from the mouths of men and women. But not only is the mouth full of cursing, but there is bitterness. You know that bitterness is rooted toward first? It's rooted toward the living God. He has no rights over me. Used to be a song when I was growing up. The greatest lie that was ever told to mankind in a song. Born free. No, not born free. Born a slave to sin and Satan in his ways. And today, it's far worse than it was when I grew up. We didn't have the drug situation when I was a kid. Biggest problem we had was chewing gum in school or things like that. Today we've got problems that, let me tell you, dear young person, this is why we're looking at this book today, because there are things that Satan can bring into your life. You will never get over them. Your parents will not be able to help you put your life back together. We have a relation in our family of a young man that's 22 or 23 years old, and his life has been destroyed. Not only his life, but the life of his parents and his siblings. And these are the things that Satan wants to hold out to you. This is why we take up Romans, because we're going to see our place in the things of God, the wonders of the gospel that takes the chains off of you and I and sets us free. I'll read the rest of these things. Feet that are swift to shed blood. Destruction. Not only destruction. Have you ever run into somebody that was really miserable? Not happy with anything. Not happy with anybody. Not happy with their parents. Not happy with their looks. Not happy with the grades, the school they go to. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Oh, you mean there is a way of peace? Oh, this is the message of the word that we have today. Yes, there is a way of peace. But a child of Adam will never enter into that peace. We must be part of the second man, the Lord from heaven. The way of peace have they not known? And then he says this verse that we had last night. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Someone in this room unsaved? Someone here? And you've not yet come to know our Lord Jesus as your Lord. Oh, I tell you, there is a day of reckoning coming. And you will either stand before our Lord Jesus and own him as your Savior, or the day will come when you will stand before him as your judge. And he will bring before you the very meeting you're sitting in. He'll bring before you the very thoughts that you had as these things were set before us today. And he'll remind you, you refused me. You wouldn't have me. And they were cast into the lake of fire. The way of peace is open for you. But the way of peace is through a person. Oh, how we want to say that. It's through a person. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Remember what was said, verse 9, that all are under sin. That was the dominating principle. We had that this morning. Now check, this brought us from verse 13, this description that uses the physical body, so to speak, of our human character, from our throats, our tongues, our lips, our mouth, our feet, and our ways, all spoken of here in a very negative way, but it's presenting to us what we are as being dominating under this principle of sin. So we had the tree, and the fruit that it would bring would only be that which was of the tree itself. The bad tree brings the bad fruits. And here we see, the scripture tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we find here what is the very characteristic of the fruit that is going to be born by this one that is under the dominating principle of sin. And it's a pretty filthy, stinking, literally, description of what man is in sin. His throat is an open sepulcher. We kind of laugh at one another, and you know, if somebody would offer me a breath saver, right, I'm like, ooh, I must have bad breath, right? And we do that in a nice way. But here, that the Spirit of God is taking the very things that opens up to us and says that is our throat, and we look down into our throat, and it's an empty, open grave. Mm. And it's a dead man in there that stinks. And he's using that description analogy now to bring out that this is the fruit of what we are as being under the dominating principle, having fallen into sin. And this is the result.
So on this note, could we just stand up and kind of sing a couple of verses maybe?